Zechariah 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered, and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that's very important to notice that text. And can I just make a comment on it before we go any further? You notice that the angel says, not by might. When he uses that term might, that refers to numbers. Numbers. People often talk about numbers today, and churches, as I've said many times, before, people are obsessed with numbers. And some people think that if you have a crowd at the church services, then you're going to have a successful church. Your church has reached the mark, we could say. And those same people think whenever you have small numbers that there's something badly wrong with your church, that God couldn't be in your church. But the Lord actually teaches us today that for a church to be successful, for a church to fulfill God's plans and purposes, that church does not need to have might. That church does not need to have numbers, big numbers. Now move on. Nor by power. That refers to individuals. You see, some churches look to the minister and they think, oh, he's there, we're okay, he can speak well, or he's not such a good speaker, things are not so good, our church won't do so well, he can't really speak very well. What does God say? God says that it doesn't matter about individuals. Whether the preacher can speak eloquently or whether he's not a particularly good speaker, that's not the all-important point. Whether the Sunday school teachers are gifted speakers or not, that isn't the all-important point. Whether the people who take part in the church work, whether they are gifted speakers or not, that isn't the all-important matter. What is the all-important matter? Listen to the text again. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. There's the all-important thing, the all-important factor. God's Spirit. My Spirit. And if the Spirit of God comes to a church and controls that church and visits that church, that's all that matters. As long as the Spirit of God is there, that's the all-important thing. Regardless of those who take part. And we need to remember that God often uses those who appear to be weak, those who don't appear to be useful to man from a human standpoint, people who don't seem to be particularly gifted. God often chooses those sorts of people and uses them. And that's how the church goes forward. Whenever the Holy Spirit uses those weak people, that's when the work goes forward. That's how to have a successful church. That's how to have a church that is blessed. A church that is growing. Make sure that the Holy Spirit's there. Make sure that the Spirit's controlling all that happens. Verse 7, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." Zerubbabel was going to finish the work. When it refers to the headstone there, that doesn't mean headstone as far as we know it. That doesn't refer to a gravestone, but that refers to a capstone. And what is a capstone? A capstone, well, think about whenever years ago people were building temples or great buildings. Whenever they came to the end, they put on the capstone. The capstone was the last stone that was to be put on. It was like the stone at the top. That stone that finished the whole building off. And the Lord says here that Zerubbabel will place that capstone. In other words, he's saying that the work will be completed. God's work will come to a conclusion. What an encouragement for us here today, that God's work here someday will come to a conclusion. God has plans and purposes for this church, for this particular local church. And those plans and purposes will be fulfilled. One day you and I will put on the capstone, as it were. And look at those lovely words, grace, grace unto it. What's the Lord saying there? Well, he's saying that grace should permeate every aspect of the work of the church. Whoever stands behind this sacred desk Sunday by Sunday should preach grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's simply what grace means. God's riches at Christ's expense. So that's what ought to be preached from the pulpit. But you know, remember that every one of us need to show grace to others. Let there be grace in our lives as we come to the church. Let us be prepared to overlook the faults of others. Now, at the risk of repeating myself again, let me just say that we all have our faults. I know that I keep saying that, but I believe that it needs to be emphasized. We all have our faults. Some people look at others, think about others, point at others and say, that person would need to pay heed to the word of God. They would need to get themselves sorted out. No, no, no. Every one of us need to get ourselves sorted out, because we all have faults. Remember, the Lord Jesus said not to try to take motes out of other people's eye when you've got a beam in your own eye. Every time the word of God is preached, let us apply it to our hearts individually, whoever we are, whatever position we hold within the church. We all have faults. Well, then we should be gracious, shouldn't we? We should show grace to other people. We should come Sunday by Sunday and say like Zerubbabel, grace, grace unto it, or grace, grace unto you. I have faults, you have faults. Let us not come to the house of the Lord seeking to pick holes in people and seeking to criticize people and seeking to find fault, because we all could do that. But those who are gracious are the people who choose not to do it. Even though they could, they choose not to do it. Remember, you could find fault with me, but then I could find fault with you. Oh, may the Lord make this to be a house where we show grace one to the other. And let us read on. Zechariah 4, verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? Again, notice the reference to small things. Whenever things are small, don't despise them. Whenever numbers are small, don't despise them. Never get discouraged. Never throw in the towel whenever numbers are small. Whenever things are small, whenever the Sunday school is small, whenever the church services are small, whenever those coming in from new buildings, whenever those numbers are small and very few seem to have any interest to come into the house of the Lord here, even though they walk up and down past it every day and know that the church is here, even though God's people go out as we will on Tuesday evening with invitations, but yet so few respond to the invitations. Don't despise the day of small things. By the way, remember that before revival comes, things are often small. Be encouraged this great year, 150 years on from the 1859 revival. Let us remember that things were bad prior to the revival. But then God swept in. I was just reading recently, thought it was very interesting, that before the 1859 revival took place, banks collapsed. I didn't know that until I read it during the past week. Out in America, banks started to collapse. Banks started to get into difficulties. To think about that. And then remember, of course, our present situation. Surely we have a banking crisis. Every one of us know that. Financial downturn people talk about. Well, back before 1859, that's exactly what was happening. And God can do the same as he did back then. Whenever the banking crisis was on back then, God broke out and God poured out his Spirit. And now we have got a banking crisis. And yet, thank God, he can also bring revival. Verse 10 again, notice the words, Zechariah 4, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Amen. And we thank God for his word. Well, could we bow for prayer and let us ask the Lord to bless our study? And let us pray that God will continue to speak to us. Father in heaven, we want all the glory to go to thee today. Thank thee for how thou hast even spoken to us already. And we pray that thou will continue to speak to us, continue to control our attention, Lord, and to hold our attention today. Help us to hang on every word, Lord. Help us to hang on every word, Lord. Help us to pay attention to every word from heaven today. Oh, that we might, Lord, be hungry. Oh, Lord, that we might have an appetite for the word of God. We pray that thou wilt bless us. Where there is a discouraged Christian, come and encourage them, we pray. And where there is a Christian who is strayed and who needs to repent, oh, draw them back to thyself, we pray. Father, we pray for those in the meeting who still don't know Christ. Lord, we pray that thou wilt spare them. We pray that thou wilt have mercy on them. Oh, we pray, for their conversion. Draw them to thyself today, Lord, we pray. Remember John Henry, who has gone to Oma today. Bless Mr. Henry, we pray, and help him and use him there, we pray. For us in Christ's name, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Every one of us know the importance of oil. I don't think anybody would argue with the fact that we all need oil. Think about how we all need home heating oil. And those of us who have oil heating are glad to have oil heating. How important it is and how thankful we should be on a cold winter's night when we're able to turn on the oil heating. How important it is to for our cars to have motor oil. Not so long ago, I got into the car and I turned on the ignition and I noticed that there was a light on. And that was that light warned me that the oil was low. Now, I would just have driven on had it not been for that light, and I would have done damage to the car. But the light was there warning me to fill up the oil. How important it is for our cars to work properly, for them to have oil. Think about other uses that oil has. Think about whenever we come to cook, whenever you ladies or maybe you men come to cook, you need one thing, cooking oil. Every home uses cooking oil when you're preparing a meal. How important it is to have your cooking oil. Think about whenever you go to wash your hair, ladies and men, I hasten to add, hope you've washed your hair during the past week. Whenever you took that shampoo bottle and you washed your hair, I hope that you remembered that, that there was oil in the shampoo. Every bottle of shampoo contains oil. Think about whenever you cut yourself, whenever you injure yourself, you go to the medicine cabinet and you take out your ointment or whatever. Well, that ointment contains oil. Think about other oils. I remember when I was growing up, my father, without fail, day in, day out, would take cod liver oil. I don't know whether you've ever tried cod liver oil. If you have, you will remember the experience because it's not too pleasant. And I used to sit back and look at my father and say, how can you drink that stuff? He didn't just take a teaspoon and take a sip of it. He actually would drink some of it from the bottle. But I tell you, because he took cod liver oil for most of his life, he's healthy. And thank God for the medicinal properties oil contains, oil has. There are many other uses for oil we could mention. But I hope that you're getting the picture. I hope that you can see how important oil is. We use oil every day. Well, you know, our scripture reading refers to oil. We've read from Zechariah chapter 4. And I want you to think about the oil that it mentions. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 12. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Here we have golden oil. Can I let me try to paint the picture for you. You see, the picture here is of a candlestick. And on the top of the candlestick, you have got a bowl. There's like a bowl at the top of it. And on both sides of the candlestick, there are two olive trees. And those olive trees supply that bowl with oil. Oil continually pours into the bowl up at the top of the candlestick. But from the bowl, there comes these seven pipes to the seven lamps on that candlestick. And there's a continual supply. Oil continually flows to those seven lamps. Do you know that oil speaks to us about the Holy Spirit? That oil symbolizes God's Spirit, my Spirit. So let's think about golden oil. Let's think about that golden oil which Zechariah refers to. Think about oil for a few minutes with me. Think about what oil does. First of all, oil lubricates. Oil lubricates. I've already referred to motor oil. What's the purpose of the oil that you put into your car? Well, that oil lubricates your engine. Your engine wouldn't work properly without it. Your engine wouldn't be lubricated. Your engine would ultimately stop working. How important it is to have lubrication. Recently, our side gate wouldn't open, and I tried to open the padlock but couldn't get it opened. What was the problem? Well, that padlock had seized. Now, what do you do whenever a padlock seizes? You have to lubricate it. So I went for my WD-40, and the WD-40 worked. That oil loosened our padlock, and we were able to open the gates. Oil lubricates. Do you know, whenever we have the Holy Spirit, things are lubricated. And whenever this church has the Holy Spirit, whenever we as individuals have the Holy Spirit, we won't have any friction. And there won't be any wear and tear. Remember that. There is an important lesson here. Whenever the Spirit controls the work of God, whenever we are filled with the Spirit, whenever He is here, we won't have any friction. Do you know what saddens me about many churches today? Those churches are full of friction. That's one thing that saddens me today. When I see churches where there's friction, friction among the people of the church. People fall out with one another. People backbite about one another. People talk about one another behind their backs. People gossip and slander. Some people can't control their tongues. And all you seem to have is friction. There seems to be nothing, only friction. And where? Because the Spirit's not there. Because the golden oil isn't there. Do you know what a difference it would make for every believer who comes here to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with golden oil, heaven's golden oil? What a difference it would make to every church across the land for every believer to come to the meetings filled with the golden oil, filled with the Spirit. And remember that Jesus died so that every one of us might be filled with the Spirit. If, child of God, you haven't been filled with the Spirit, you're living far below what God has for you. Whenever the Lord Jesus went down into the depths of Calvary, one of the reasons He went down there was so that the Spirit might be poured out upon the church, so that the Spirit might be poured out upon you and me. So that we can conquer over temptation. So that we can conquer over our old nature. Have you been filled with the Spirit? Can I plead with you to go home today and to pray that you will be filled with the Spirit? Go home and seek the Lord for the filling of the Spirit. And then come to the services filled with the Spirit. And if we all come full of the Holy Ghost, what a difference it will make. How important to be filled with the Spirit so that we get rid of friction, so that we get rid of wear and tear. You see, whenever we have
God's Spirit, our church will be lubricated, we could say. We will have heaven's golden oil, and that golden oil that Zechariah points us to here, that golden oil will lubricate the church, the Sunday services, the Sunday school, the Lifeliners, the Youth Fellowship, the Junior Youth Challenge, the Outreach, Visitation, every aspect of the work. Oh, thank God that when the Spirit controls every part of the work, we will have love, we will have charity, we will have grace. We talked about grace earlier. We will have mercy, we will have forgiveness, tenderness. What a blessed church whenever the Holy Spirit controls it. Oil lubricates. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, that there are contentions among you. Do you know what we as a church need to pray? We need to pray that the golden oil will fill this church. That the Holy Spirit will fill this church. That the golden oil will flow from the lamp at the top of the candlestick and flow down into the seven lamps and cause this church to be free from friction. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will come to every church across the land where there's friction, where there's falling out. And we need to pray that the golden oil will do away with all the friction. Cleanse away all the friction. Take away all the wear. Lubricate the church once again. 150 years ago, the Holy Spirit lubricated the church. The oil, that golden oil of heaven, lubricated the work of God. What a difference it makes whenever that happens. People won't fall out over petty issues. Do you know how people today fall out over petty issues? Somebody does that. Somebody looks crooked at somebody else and they fall out over it. Silly little petty issues that should never see the light of day. Whenever the golden oil comes into a church, those things won't see the light of day. How sad it is that there are people who make mountains out of molehills. Major and minors. Something the preacher says, oh, he said that one Sunday. Or he did this. He doesn't do the same thing. He doesn't do things the same way that some of the previous ministers did it. And people get upset. Foolish little things. Whenever the golden oil lubricates the church, people won't be bothered about those little things. People will get on with the main work. Spreading the word of God. Spreading the gospel. Rescuing the lost. Throwing out the gospel lifeline. Living for Christ. Redeeming the time. Petty little mice running about won't bother people. Backbiting will be done away with. Ridiculing, criticizing will be no more. Complaining will be no more. How we need the golden oil. Not only, oil not only lubricates, but notice that oil heals. Oil heals. We referred to ointment earlier. And remember that ointment brings healing. Oil brings healing. Whenever you cut yourself, whenever you have a graze, or whenever you burn yourself, you'll go for the ointment. You go for the oil, because oil has healing properties. And you know, dear friends, we need the healing oil of the Spirit today. This church needs the healing oil of the Spirit. And don't worry, there are many churches across the land that are just in the same boat, in case you think that I'm picking on our own congregation. I'm not, because there are many churches across the land And those churches need the healing oil of the Spirit. Now, let me just say one thing. Some churches won't admit what I'm talking about. Some churches aren't prepared to admit that they need the healing oil of the Spirit. You see, today I could stand up here and say, oh, our church is perfect. We have nothing wrong with our church. Our church doesn't need healing. But that isn't the case. And there are many churches across the land that need healing. And how sad it is whenever they won't admit they need healing. They won't admit that they need the healing oil of the Spirit. Whenever you know your need, whenever you know your need of the healing oil of the Spirit, then there's hope for you. Whenever churches get before God, whenever those churches cry out to the Lord for the healing oil of the Spirit to come to them, those churches have hope. But the churches that are going down the plug hole are the churches who won't admit their need. I'm not ashamed to say that we need the healing oil of the Spirit today. Whenever we admit it, then God will answer our cry. He will meet our need. Oil heals. How do we know that oil heals? Well, think about Scripture. Think about the story of the Good Samaritan. Turn to Luke chapter 10 and notice there what that story says. Luke 10, verse 33, talks about a certain Samaritan as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. What did the Samaritan do? He poured in oil so that healing might take place. Who's the great Samaritan? Who's the true good Samaritan? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that still today the Lord Jesus Christ comes to churches and he pours in his oil. He pours in the Spirit and he brings healing to the churches. And he sets the churches on their feet and he makes them useful again. He revives the church. Thank God that Jesus still does that. Jesus who bled and died so that we might have the golden oil of the Spirit. Thank God he still comes to New Buildings Independent Methodist Church and to all other churches who will admit their need. And he comes and he pours in his oil so that there be healing. You see, right across our land today, there is spiritual sickness. And many of our churches are full of sick people. Let me describe for you someone who's spiritually sick. Someone who has no appetite for the Word of God, or little appetite for the Word of God. You know, there are some people, thank God for those people who are just crying out for the Word of God. People who are just hungry to be fed. I'm glad to have people like that. I'm glad there are still people like that around today. People who can't wait to get to the Lord's house to hear the Word of God. Now, the preacher's not great, but sure, the Word of God's there and that's all that matters, isn't it? We have this book. Thank God for people who are hungry. Those people don't have any sickness. But who are the people who have spiritual sickness? People who have little appetite for the Scriptures. Do you know the sorts of people I'm talking about? People who you can hardly get a wee morsel of the Scriptures into their mouth. You would have to force their mouth open for them to take a wee piece of the Scriptures home with them. Sorts of people who seem to want everything apart from the Scriptures. People who don't have any appetite for the Word of God. Those people are sick people. Sadly, there are many people like that today, even among evangelical congregations. People who, if they were honest with themselves, would admit that they don't have much hunger for the Word of God. If that's you today, you need to go home and you need to pray for God to give you an appetite for the Word of God. Be honest today. Examine yourself. Ask yourself whether you have an appetite for the Scripture. If you don't, you're spiritually sick. But if you'll admit it, there's hope for you. If you'll go home and you'll pray that God will give you an appetite for His Word, then you can be healed. People who have no appetite for the place of prayer. Whenever you are truly saved, whenever you're born again, you'll want to be at the prayer meeting. I know that I keep laboring this point. But at the end of the day, would you blame me? This is where the success takes place. This is the powerhouse of the church. Prayer. But your preachers today have to plead with people to come to the prayer meetings. That shouldn't be. Whenever a person saved, that person will want to come to the prayer meeting. That person may well not pray outwardly for quite some time. I don't know. But that person will at least make an effort to be at the place of prayer. I get alarmed when I see believers who rarely come to the place of prayer. I get alarmed. Why am I saying that today? Because I want you to have all that God has for you. The reason I'm saying this today is to stir you up to come to the prayer meetings so that you'll be blessed. You see, you're losing out, child of God. And I, as a pastor of this congregation, I have the responsibility to guard your soul, to look after the welfare of your soul. And one of the places where you will grow as a Christian, there. That's the place where you'll grow. Right in there, in the place of prayer. There's no place like the place of prayer. But one of the signs of sick people, one of the signs of a sick church is where there's little appetite for prayer. And let me share a third sign with you. Another sign that there is sickness within the church is when there's little desire to reach out to the lost. Whenever you have a Christian who has little desire to spread the word of God to their fellow man, whenever you see a Christian who makes little effort to reach the lost, that's a sign of a sick Christian. And healing needs to take place. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17, listen to it. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Those who want spiritual health can have it. Those who want an appetite for the word of God can have it. Those who want an appetite for that place in there can have it. Those who want an appetite for the lost out there can have it. Come to the Savior, come to Jesus, come to the one who washed you in His blood. Come to Him in prayer, seek Him, tell Him to bring healing. Tell Him to bring a cure to your soul. Tell Him to pour out His golden oil upon you. That healing oil. And then not only does oil lubricate, and not only does oil heal, but oil warms. Oil warms. And with this we finish. Oil warms. You know, one thing that saddens me, one thing that grieves me, and one thing no doubt which grieves every sincere child of God, people who have cold hearts. There are many people today with cold hearts. There are many people today who have hearts like an iceberg. I wonder, have you got a heart like ice today? Your heart's cold. Do you know what you need? You need the Lord to pour out His golden oil upon your heart. To take away that icy coldness from your heart. To warm your heart, to set it on fire. You see, whenever Aaron went into the holy place, one of his duties, whenever he was looking after the tabernacle, one of his duties was to fill the lamps. And whenever the lamps were filled, those lamps would burn. They would give off heat. Oil warms. And you know, today, the Holy Spirit does the same for souls. The Holy Spirit warms souls. Do you need the Lord to remove the coldness from your heart? I wonder today, are you lamenting over the coldness within your heart? Well, there's one solution for you, one answer. Call out to the Lord. Pray that he may pour out his golden oil upon that heart of yours. Let us seek the Lord that he may take away the coldness. So many people have cold hearts. And there's only one thing that will melt those hearts. Jesus Christ pouring out his golden oil. Oh, dear friends, let us pray for the golden oil. When we think about 1859 and we remember with fondness how that God poured out his golden oil upon our little land, let us pray again that the Lord will pour out the golden oil. Let us pray again that the Lord will pour out his Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way. Hymn number 243. Let us turn to 243, please. 243. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Let us sing it through twice. 243, standing to sing.